Good evening. All righty. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're just about done with the letter to the Ephesians. Probably shouldn't start a message by saying that, should I? You guys all be getting ready to get up and get out of here. All righty. Let's take a look at a couple of verses. We went through all the way through verse 20 last week, at least touched on it somewhat generally. Now we're going to look at verses 21 and 22. "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts." Let's go to God in prayer. Great God, we thank you again for the assembly, for the opportunity to be together, to be encouraged, to hear your word preached, and Father, to be further equipped for the work of service that you've entrusted to us. Grateful that you communicate your confidence that we'll get this job done for you, Father. And grateful for all the brothers and sisters in this assembly that work hard at fulfilling that purpose. Father, pray your blessing upon the message tonight, that it would serve its purpose first and foremost in glorifying you. And then in so doing, as a byproduct of that, Lord, I know that the brethren will be further strengthened and encouraged. Grateful again for every opportunity that you give me, and pray that, Father, I will use it as a good steward of your word. Ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Tychicus. I was thinking about Mikkel's Lord's Supper. We talked about the Exodus case. And for those of you that don't have a copy of that book, if you can get one, I really recommend it. I just want to throw that out right now. If you've never read the Exodus case, it's an awesome book. It'll just absolutely blow you away with all the information that that guy has put together, proved to you that the Scriptures are accurate and true. Just more information. They'll really help you. Having said that, I have no part in the publishing, don't own stock in the company, none of that. It's a very good book. It really is. I would recommend two books for every Christian. One's called In the Beginning by Don Brown, and it's a case for the flood and everything in reference to that. And the other one would be the Exodus case. Get a copy of each one. Read them. Get to know them. They're excellent. Appreciate that you mentioned that, Mr. Burry. That is a great book. I'm glad you're teaching that to the young people. Now, we're going to talk about a fella tonight. But first of all, I got to pick on somebody in the assembly, and I'll pick on a Dallas Cowboy fan. Okay? Okay? Yeah, that's you, Mike. He's looking over there. Nice fake job. Who would he be talking about? Yeah. Anyway, got a question for you, Mike. Who's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys?
Unfortunately, it's Jerry Jones.
Okay. All right, Jerry Jones. Who is the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, head coach?
Jerry Jones.
He thinks he is. Who is he employed with that title?
Garrett,
whatever his first name is. I can't remember it either. Huh? Nah, doesn't sound right. Jason Garrett. There we go. Jason Garrett. Okay, so when you're watching a football game, is there usually a picture of the Cowboys are involved of Jerry Jones? Shows up on the television?
Occasionally.
How about the coach?
Okay,
now I got a question for you. Who's the strength and conditioning coach?
Jerry Jones.
No. I'm making a point here. Okay, who's the high profile guys is what I'm making the point of. Jerry Jones, very much. And the guy loves to get his mug in front of the camera. Okay, and he is, like Mike said, basically he's a micromanager. He is the strength and conditioning coach. If he thinks that guy isn't doing a good enough job, he'll somehow make sure everybody knows that. Head coach is Jason Garrett. Those are high-profile guys. You watch an NFL football game, and for the gals who go, who cares about NFL? You know, I don't know. How many of you gals are into gymnastics? You know, you could raise your hands. I could ask you who won the all-around title for the ladies' gymnastics in the last Olympics. And most of you that like that kind of thing would be able to say, Gabby Douglas. You know, you'd throw her name out. You're probably surprised I know. But in any case, my point is there are high-profile personnel. Now, the Dallas Cowboys are a team. And they have high-profile personnel. Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett. But there's a guy called the strength and conditioning coach. It's pretty critical to that team. See? But you ask anybody that's a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, and for the most part, I guarantee you 8 out of 10 people, okay, and I'm going to say across the country, if you go down to Dallas where it's 24/7 Cowboy stuff, they probably know this guy. But up in this part of the country or other parts of the country, you'd ask them who's a strength and conditioning coach of the Dallas Cowboys, they'd just look at you with a blank stare. Have no idea. But is that guy critical? I guarantee you Jason Garrett's checking with him. How's these guys doing? How's you got the routine down? Did you personalize the training for this guy? Did you do this with that person? Right? Now, do I know the name of the guy? No, I don't. I don't. But is he important to the team? Sure he is. Absolutely. Now, in the New Testament, Paul writes many letters. Did you know that he mentions by name over 100 individuals? Maybe you haven't tallied that up. In the book of Romans alone, I believe if you count, I know it's over 20. I know it's over 20. And then in Colossians 4, where we're going to go tonight, which is a parallel passage to Ephesians 6, it's going to talk about Tychicus. There's 10 mentioned there. I know because I counted them. Okay? Because I was looking at my passages I was going to talk about tonight. Tychicus. The guy's name means fortunate or fortuitous. Okay? And he just shows up in Acts 20 is the first time he appears in the New Testament. We're going to get to that in a minute. But what I found interesting is, you know, I'm the kind of guy, I like to check out words and meanings and all that kind of stuff. So I checked out what is the root word from which his name comes from. And the root word is tunkano, and it means to make ready or bring to pass. Isn't that interesting? To make ready or bring to pass. And this is about a guy whose name comes from that root, and his name is Tychicus. Now, brethren, there are many, many individuals in the church that are not high profile. Now you can look at the family camp roster every year. Many of us get a chance to go there. And there's about, I think, 11 or 12 speakers. Am I about right? You know? And those are the guys that get, you know, the prime time and the FaceTime, whatever you want to call it. But I guarantee you, in every one of those congregations, there are bunches of people behind them that are working with them that are super important to their success. So tonight we're going to talk about Tychicus. We're going to take a look at the four times he's mentioned in the New Testament. We're going to talk about what the Apostle Paul calls him. And I want you guys to understand that really Tychicus and all these others that are mentioned in the New Testament that are not, you know, the ones that get all the FaceTime, all the recognition, all the high profile ones, these are super important, super valuable people. And really it's a story about all you guys that might consider yourselves no names. Now, I'm going to preach hopefully two messages. The one tonight about Tychicus that I'm going to follow up with another message next time I get an opportunity to preach, and it's going to be called The Lord's Second Fiddlers. Not everybody gets to be first chair. That was always for the one that did really well. Whether you were in singing or you were in a instrumental orchestra or band. First chair was usually the one that was really play that instrument if you were in band or orchestra. And first chair was usually the individual that had a really good ear, could hold his pitch while others were moving around and not quite hitting it. And that's particularly important if you're in an a cappella group like I was one year in high school. We were called Troubadour Men. We were 15 and 16 year olds. What a misnomer. How about Troubadour Boys? But anyway, the guys that were first chair, and I was not one. Okay? The guys that were first chair in all of the four parts were very good. All of them, I think, well, with the exception of one guy, three of them that I know, the guy who was a music teacher could look at him and say, give me a G sharp, or give me, and they go, doop, they'd hit it with their voice. And they go, okay, that's the tenor line, and you do this, and here's the B flats, and, you know, and all this, and those go, bah, 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 and those four would do it, and we'd all follow them. I know that didn't sound very good, but anyway, the whole point is, they were good at leading, but you had to have the rest to follow, or it was going to be one ugly sounding song. So you had to have those that were willing to serve in that position of follower, a servant to the individual who was leading. Brethren, it is so important in the church that you understand, if you're not getting face time up here, and particularly that's for the ladies, but how about some of you guys that don't get up here much, or hardly at all, or never? You're still super important to the church. All right? Tychicus is mentioned, but he's only mentioned four times. But you'll see that he's a highly trusted servant of the Lord. Didn't get a whole lot of words, but these four passages. But he's super important, super valuable. And he demonstrates his worth by what he's willing to do without getting a lot of credit or high profile time. All right. Just wanted to open up by making sure you guys understood that. So Tychicus, he's a beloved brother. All right, now where was he from? We're going to go to Acts 20 here in a minute. We're going to do some supposing, okay? Try and figure out where he was from, kind of get some background. But he's going to show up in Acts chapter 20. So let's go there. Why does this guy show up in the letter to the Ephesians? Just shows up in the last part. Why did Paul single him out? And that's something you need to be asking yourself. Why? Okay, in Acts 20, where he shows up is in verse 4, along with several other guys. All right? So Paul is in Acts chapter 20. Gone to Macedonia. When he'd gone through there in verse 2, those districts in Macedonia had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. And there he spent 3 months. And when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he determined to return through Macedonia. So he reverses course, goes back. And he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians. That's Acts 19. He'd been there. Okay. Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, Acts 16. Go back, check out where these guys get mentioned. The cities that Paul traveled through. And Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. Okay? That's all you get. Now, where'd he come? Where's Asia? Where's Asia? We think Asia, we think what? China, Vietnam, you know, all those areas over there, don't we? That was not Asia in the biblical time. Asia was Western Turkey, Anatolia. That's what it was called, has been called, Western Turkey. So a lot of times when you get out your map in your back and you see Paul's travels, look at his second missionary journey sometime and see where he was going, second and third, and you'll see he went up through that area, Lystra, Derbe, you'll see all those places. And that's the region that was a lot of times called Galatia as well. But there are other regions in that whole area of Western Turkey. But Paul, previously in Acts 19, let's just go back and let's get a little background here. Acts 19:1. And it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus, found some disciples. Now, we're all familiar with this passage, aren't we? Most of us. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No. We have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you immersed?" And they said, "Into John's immersion." Paul said, "John immersed with the immersion of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who is coming after him," that is, in Jesus. "And when they had heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus." You can prove from that, that's where their sins are forgiven. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying." Make sure you always pause when you're teaching somebody this section of Scripture to understand that they were immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then Paul lays his hands on them, then they start speaking in tongues. You guys all know why. Now, here's verse 7. "And there were in all about 12 men." And then we're going to get the information about Ephesus in Acts 19 and the things that happened there. Then we're going to go on and get down to Berea and all of that. And then we're going to end up over here in Acts 20, which I just read. Now, some people think that among the 12 that Paul came across, that he had to teach more accurately the things of God, to use scriptural terminology from Acts 18 in reference to Apollos. Many believe that Tychicus was one of those guys. Why would I say that? I think they might be onto something. I don't know. Possible. Let's turn to Acts 21. Now remember, these guys are now accompanying Paul. We're going to come back to Acts 20 here in a minute. But Acts 21 is when Paul gets into trouble, when he is accused of having a Greek with him in the temple. Now, verse 29 of Acts 21. They had accused him. Well, let's grab verse 28. Crying out, they said, "Men of Israel, come to our aid. This is the man, Paul, who preaches to all men everywhere against our people and the law in this place. Besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple, and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with him. And they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple." How was Trophimus and Tychicus described in Acts 20? Asia. And they're coupled together. Is it possible they could have been, or that Tychicus could have been from Ephesus? Don't know. But I'm pretty sure he's from that area of Turkey. Don't know. But I thought you might find that interesting. Tie all that together, you can figure out kind of where we think he might have come from. Tychicus says, it's going to be important because you're going to find out some things about him a little later on. So I'm just kind of giving you that information. Now in Acts chapter 20, these guys are following Paul, verse 4, which we read. Okay, now let's go a little further in Acts chapter 20. If you've been reading the book of Acts prior to this, you know some things have been said to Paul about what awaits him in Jerusalem. All right, now let's go to verse 22 of Acts 20. Now, this is after he gets done telling him, "Hey, I haven't shrunk from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Publicly, house to house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks, of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 22, "And now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me." That was one of the things that Agabus came and told him. Tied his hands with his own belt, said, "This is what's going to happen to you in Jerusalem." Now remember, these guys are with Paul. Now, I'm going to encourage you to go back and get that list of guys in 24, Acts 20, verse 4. Check out some of those guys, and particularly Aristarchus, see what happens to him. Okay? Just check that stuff out. Now what happens to Paul after Acts 21? Well, it's a series of events where he's presenting himself before leadership, governors, kings, boom, off to Rome. Prison. Right? So, you have to know all this background so that when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about Tychicus, you can understand what has now happened. Tychicus hooked up with him. We know about him in Acts chapter 20, and it appears from everything that we're going to see now in the letter to the Ephesians that Tychicus had stuck with Paul all the way through, including his imprisonment. Okay? Including his imprisonment. Doesn't say Tychicus was in prison, but he was with him. Because what does he say here in Ephesians 6, 21? "But that you also may know about my circumstances." Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, all letters written while Paul was in prison, circa 60 to 61 AD. His first imprisonment. Okay? Who's he going to send? Tychicus, the beloved brother. Turn over to Proverbs. Verse chapter 17, in the same verse as the chapter. 17:17. That'd be a good number for a quarterback and to use an audible. 17:17. 17:17. When he sees a blitz coming. Got some adversity coming, 17:17. He's looking at his receivers. You with me, brothers? 17:17. Here's what he's saying to him. A friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. Where was Tychicus? Paul had a little adversity, didn't he? He's in prison. He's got a born-again brother named Tychicus that's there. A brother is born for adversity. Here's a beloved brother. That's why Paul says, beloved brother. Tychicus got on board, got involved, and stuck with Paul. And as Paul went through all his trials, now remember, he was warned, Tychicus was with Paul when Paul said, except the Holy Spirit tells me that affliction awaits me in every place that I go. Affliction awaits me in Jerusalem. And Tychicus goes, I'm going. Again, now, there's always a question that people ask you, right? If you knew today that when you stepped out that door, you know, think something that could happen bad, would you step out the door? If you could control that situation. Or you knew if you didn't step out that door, didn't go there, that wouldn't happen. Paul says, the Holy Spirit says, affliction and bonds await me. And Tychicus says, I'm in. Now, how if I came and told you guys, said, government's after me, man. I'm going to come and haul me away. I'm going to be in the Yellowstone County Detention Center for a while. Now, I need somebody to hang with me. Now, by hanging with me, they're going to color you with a broad brush of association and consider you guilty of the same things they're charging me. But I need you to be near me so that I can continue to have that link to the church. Now, you could suffer the same fate as me. No guarantee you won't. Will you come with me? Well, the day may come when we all get to answer that question, huh? You see why Paul calls him a beloved brother? See, this is when we're really going to find out where we're at. That's why guys get up here and warn you. That's why Jay's been preaching away. He's been preaching lately. Quit playing games. Okay? This thing's deadly serious. And it could be your eternal life. Because you see guys in the book of Colossians and in the letter to Philemon that Tychicus is entrusted with carrying that are mentioned as working with God or working with Paul for God. And you're going to see later on where a couple of them have wandered away having loved this present world. Made a little quick calculation. Now that could be kind of... I think I just decided Kevin's not a friend. Now, we've asked this question. Luke's asked it before. You're going to get mad at me or Luke, you know, if some real persecution comes down on this body because of things we say or that others say? I consider you all beloved brothers and sisters. I want you to understand that. I'm not here questioning your faithfulness. I consider you all. But I'll tell you, that's when the test comes for each of us individually. Will you go? Now, I have faith you guys are going to go. I saw a lot of heads do this, and I'm like, amen. That means nodding up and down for those on the internet. Okay? So, he's a beloved brother. If you ever had anybody that stuck close to you in a time of trial, you know how valuable they are to you, don't you? Yeah. We've all had somebody. We've all been there. All right, we've read 6, 21 and 22. Let's go over to Colossians 4. Again, he's called a beloved brother. He's called a faithful servant. We're going to go a little bit out of order here. Faithful minister or servant. That's the same word for servant. And then verse 22 is that he may comfort your hearts. Okay, so let's go to Colossians 4. We're going to have a parallel verse here. Verses, I should say, 7 and 8 of Colossians 4. Now, the rest of Colossians 4, on down to about verse 15, is going to be the Lord's second fiddlers, which I'm going to try and do a message on next go around. And I'm going to talk about you guys. But this is Tychicus right now. Verse 7, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant, in the Lord, we'll bring you information. So that'd be servant and slave is what he's actually saying. My fellow servant, faithful servant, and fellow slave Notice how Paul doesn't say he's high and mighty. He's saying, I'm a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. So is this guy. We serve. We both had our ears pierced and we volunteered for lifetime service. Okay. This fellow bondservant of the Lord will bring you information. Sounds pretty familiar. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances. Our circumstances. Who was in prison again? Paul. But who was like he was in prison with him? Tychicus. Our circumstances. And that he may encourage your hearts. That's the same word that we see over there in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, comfort your hearts. How many of you know what the Greek word is for the Holy Spirit? In John chapter 14, 15, 16, 1 John chapter 2, we have an advocate. But Jesus said to the boys, he said, I will send a helper. You know what that word is in Greek? Anybody remember what word it is other than Luke?
Parakletos.
Was that you, Mike?
Yes.
Parakletos. Well, guess what word this is? This is the verb form from which parakletos comes. It's parakaleo. So guess who you are? Guess who Tychicus was? Tychicus was the comforter. He was the one called alongside to exhort, to encourage. That's who you guys are. When somebody needs you, do they think of you? Man, I need some encouragement. Lord, send me Nolan. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? Nolan's an encourager. Just ask Sam. She's sitting next to him. Sam, you've been through some tough stuff, haven't you? Has there been somebody there to encourage you? Yeah, he's sitting right next to you. Man, you guys, do you know who you are? I love this stuff. It tells me who we are, who you are, how valuable you are, how important you are. An encourager. He says, I'm going to ascend you. This guy's been proven to be faithful in little things, so I think he'll be faithful in much. So what does Paul say? I'm going to take these three letters, the letter to Ephesus, the letter to Colossae, and then he has one that he pens to Philemon, and he sends with Tychicus, as recorded in Colossians here, Onesimus, the slave, the runaway slave, that ran away, got to Rome, looked up Paul. Don't know how everything happened there between Onesimus and Paul, but he becomes a Christian, and Paul says the right thing to do is, slave, you're supposed to serve your master. I'm not going to just say you're free because you're in Christ. Get back there and straighten that out. I'll help. So he sends Onesimus back. Guess who he sends him with? Well, I'm going to take Tychicus. He's going to go with these letters. You go with him. This is a beloved brother. This is a faithful servant, bond servant. You're safe with him. Go. I don't know. Maybe you guys read about guys in the Bible that are secondary, you know, characters, and you go, I don't. Because I see a lot of you guys when I read this stuff. I read through the description, I see a lot of you guys. I read about certain aspects of people in the Bible, go, that reminds me of. Wow, that's just like. You know, tireless workers are mentioned in the scripture. You know who I think is a tireless worker amongst us? Brother Michael Conover over here. I mean, you guys seen him at potlucks in there working the kitchen, cleaning it up, you know. He's, some of the ladies are in there helping him too, but he's always taking care of all, a tireless worker. You do anything out in the park, tireless worker, cleaning up, taking care of that stuff. Is Michael important to us? Well, let's say we leave Rose Park one year, we don't clean up, we get a fine. Everybody's going, Michael, where were you? You didn't do your job. We got a fine because of you, right? Right? So, again, I mean, pretty important, can't do that. But what I want you to understand is this was an encourager. This is a guy that's going to go back and say, look, I went with him when things were bad in Jerusalem. He pulled through it. Lord's being glorified. He's in prison. Don't worry. Everything's going according to plan. Don't worry. He may be in prison, but the Word of God won't be in prison. Have you heard about the Praetorian Guard? Hey, he told me all about the Philippian letter. Hey, he's got them guys converted. This is a great deal. Come on, you guys, everything's all right. He's okay. On with the work. Right? What are you going to do if we hear Jay gets in prison when he goes overseas somewhere? What are we going to do about the church in Bozeman? We shouldn't have to think that, should we? It should be, they're going to be fine. Hey, Jay may get someone Philippines. I don't know. How about if we get imprisoned? You got yourself, no pun intended, a captive audience. Where are they going to go? I read this, I prepare myself. Lord, if this is me, if I can do that for Luke, what if Luke goes to jail? Luke's pretty much a frontline guy. You know, you guys think I say some outlandish stuff. I hope that, you know, if Luke goes to prison, I hope it isn't just Julie and the children that go see him. If that's it, shame on us. Amen? Shame on us. See, I think of Luke as my David. I'm his Jonathan. We're knit together. Our hearts are knit together. I'll do anything for Luke. I've told him that numerous times. See, now, was Jonathan a frontline, high-profile guy in the Old Testament? Extremely critical to David's well-being, though, wasn't he? Who's extremely critical to Paul's well-being? Tychicus. Who's extremely critical to my well-being? Well, let's just go down the row. Roger, Michael, Clint, Jaden, my wife for sure, right? David, Gloria. How about we just keep going? Bob, Lisa, just keep going. John, right? The Han family, we can just keep going, can't we? Linda, just right on down. You guys are all extremely critical to my well-being. You're an encouragement to me. I need you guys. Hey, and guess what? Paul entrusted him with taking the Word of God out to the churches, didn't he? Hey, if you get moved out of Billings and say you end up in Great Falls, maybe? Tychicus in the sweater over there? Take the Word. Take the Word. Why do I say that? Because where you see him mentioned again, we talked about Ephesians 6 and Colossians 4. Now turn over to Titus. Now this is only about two to three years later. Oops, I'm going the wrong direction. I want to get 2 Timothy before I need to. Titus. Okay. 3:12. Paul says to Titus, who he's left behind in Crete, set things in order. He says, when I send Artemis, there's a good biblical name. You want to name your son a cool name? Artemis. Artemis Gordon. Right, Bob? All right. You know, and if you got the last name West, you can go with James. Okay. When I send Artemis, and I know Bob understands what I'm getting at, some of you others, or Tychicus to you. Who does he want to send? Because he says, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter. He says, hey, Titus, I need you. Get over here. And, oh, by the way, don't worry about it. Here's the two guys I got selected. Guess who one of them is? A faithful servant, a beloved brother. Hey, were things a little messy in Crete? Read the letter. Titus went there after Paul started to get things in order. Do you think if he got things figured out, you know, you got to be able to preach sound doctrine, refute those who contradict? You're going to send in a weakling, an unfaithful individual that can't handle, keep that thing going down the right road? No, he sends Tychicus or a guy named Artemis. Don't know much about Artemis. But I know a little bit more about Tychicus. This is a faithful brother, beloved brother, trusted brother. And he says, I'm going to send him. Don't worry about it. Got you back there. Titus, you just get here. I need you here. I don't know if Tychicus ever went. I have no idea. But Paul was ready to send him. Now again, let's roll the film again on. Let's just use Bozeman again. Jay gets thrown in jail. Do we have some guys here in this assembly we could send over there to Bozeman to help keep things? I think they got guys in place. They wouldn't really need us. But let's say they didn't. Yeah, we got guys. We got guys. Let's go to 2 Timothy. We won't be much longer, I hope. Thank you for hanging in here with me. By the way, I want the record to note that I didn't get started till between 25 and 20 to 8. So I've only been going about 30 minutes. I know I'm a windbag, but even windbags got to justify themselves, okay? Verse 9. 2 Timothy. Who's this written to? Timothy, directly to the church as a whole, correct? but it's written to Timothy, the evangelist, not the pastor. I hate how they go pastoral letter. Oh, but those are synonyms. You know, kind of like worship service are synonyms. Pastor and evangelist are synonyms. That's how bad it is out there, brethren. Okay. I'll get down off of that stool and get up on another one on a different subject. Verse 9, chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Make every effort to come to me soon. Hey, Timothy, I need you here. Paul ends up in prison. I think Timothy went. And I think Timothy got the same deal. Hey, two for one. Why do I say that? Well, read Hebrews 13. It tells you where Timothy is. Okay, about 20, somewhere between 20 and 25, somewhere in there. I can't give you the exact verse. All right, go check it out. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, this is the guy in the letter I talked to you earlier, in a letter to Philemon, who was working with Paul. Now he's gone. Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. There is a faithful servant, right? We got the gospel of Luke because of his faithfulness, beloved brother. Right? Pick up Mark, bring him with you. There was a guy that wasn't doing so good, ended up being useful. There was a guy, Demas, doing good, ended up being unuseful. See how this whole thing works here? He is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Where was Timothy working? Ephesus. He's like, he's on his way. Come on. You can leave. He's coming. I got a faithful brother, beloved brother, faithful minister, bondservant of God, on his way to Ephesus, where you have been working, Timothy. Come on. Let's go. Let's get over here. This is a guy that Paul trusted. Now that's the kind of thing you'd want the Lord to say about you, wouldn't you? Well, we got a guy in our assembly right over here, Clint. He's doing a lot of the things I just talked about up in Great Falls. You guys know that, don't you? See, that's why I said Tychicus in the white sweater over there. He's doing the very thing. Hey, what about Mark Miller? How many of you know the story of Mark Miller? You know where he's a preacher? Most of you? Right? Anybody know? Are you all being quiet on it just to mess with me? He's in Missoula, right? For years he traveled with Jay. When the opening came in Missoula, he stepped in. See, he played second fiddler for quite a while. And then when they needed somebody, and he went. Timothy's a high profile guy in the New Testament. Hey, Timothy, I need you here, Paul says. Shoop. In goes Tychicus. Remember I told you? Timothy, you know, he was in the book of Hebrews. I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released. When was the book, the letter to the Hebrews, written? 67 to somewhere around there. On later, before 70 AD, most likely, based on the way it's written. Timothy is going to be released. You think he's being released from his evangelistic duty somewhere? No, he's been in prison. I wonder who was watching Ephesus all that time. I can't prove it, but I'm sure thinking it. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I'm just looking at how this thing all plays out. Now, this could be one of you. Knowing it could be you, brother, somewhere. I don't know where. You got those kind of qualities, that kind of ability. We know that Clint's got it. There's many around here that got that kind of quality and ability. Could end up somewhere like this. You're all beloved brothers. You're all faithful ministers. How many ministers are in the church here in Billings? I don't know, 120? That's biblical. There's not the minister. My wife will tell you about a long discussion I had with a guy in Cedar Woolley about calling himself the minister. And I kept saying a minister, and he said, no, the minister. And I said, a minister. And he said, no, the minister. And I said, a minister. Ask her. While three elders sat there and scratched their head going, what's this guy up to? I was a young Christian when I did that. So when people tell you, well, how many ministers you got at your church? You can tell them, about 120. Wow, you guys must be huge. What's your attendance on an average Lord's Day? About 120. No, go. Hey, it might lead to a great conversation. I don't know. Right? Faithful ministers. Faithful servants. Encouragers. You know how important your encouragement is to one another? God, just read sometime about how important that is. I don't have enough time to preach on this message tonight that I wanted to. Right? So, I just want you to understand your importance. I covered what I wanted to. I had to leave some stuff out. Brethren, Tychicus is in there for a reason. Because he is an example of you. In some shape or form. That's why when Paul lists all these people, it's designed so that you individually will grab on to one of those people and say, that sounds like me. And then you can go, oh, so the Lord does recognize me. Brethren, Luke and I know what you all do in this assembly, how important you are. We may not name you by name up front, and Clint may not, and Jared may not, and Larry may not, and the guys that get a chance to preach regularly, they may not. But we all know what you do, and we know how important you are to us. How many of you have seen me breaking down the tables after potluck, cleaning up? You haven't. Just being honest. Somebody's doing it. I know who some of those somebodies continually are. I know you're important. You're faithful servants. You're beloved brethren. And you're encouragers to me and to others. Let's stand.